Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Oh, hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love motion pictures. This is Doug Loves Movies, last ep of the year. Last bonus ep of the year. It's Friday, December 30th, but you're going to hear this on Monday, January 2nd or later. So happy New Year's to the listeners and almost New Year to my very special guest today. Yeah, this is a motherfucking theme episode. My guests are the stars and producers and actors and creators and directors of a film currently on VOD, wherever you V your D. It's called The Disappearance of Toby Blackwood, and they are Joe Ahern, Doug Mellard, and Dana DiLorenzo. Hello, everybody.
Hey. Hello. Hey.
Hi, Doug.
Hey, gang.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Dana. Thanks for having us, Doug.
Yeah,
let's get a high from every possible combination, and it'll be like the opposite of the end of an episode of The Waltons. Let's actually meet everybody individually and alphabetically by first name. Yeah, a little twist there. The twists. This is like a Knives Out podcast because the twists do not stop coming, and they just go deeper. Let's first begin with one of the stars of this aforementioned film. It's Dana DiLorenzo. Hey, Dana.
Hi, Doug. How you doing? Happy New Year.
Pretty good. Well, yeah, we're sort of in it. We're pretending that it's the new year.
I know. I'm very good at pretending.
It's a real showbiz thing, Dana. Have you ever, as an actress, had to like do like a Christmas special in August, that sort of shit?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why it's like that. It's so ingrained to like not lie and to just hey, it's January 2nd. It's not the 30th. Yeah. But to be honest, Doug, for all I know, I just got off of a red eye and I'm so, have you ever been so exhausted that you feel high, but you're not? But like, that's where I'm at. So it could be January 2nd. It could be the 30th. I'm going with what you said because you're the host. It's your show. And I like to pretend with you.
Okay.
This is now, all right. I'm going to stop. I'm done. I've done my time.
You don't have to have a speech prepared.
Do you know me at all?
You don't have to. I do. And I bet you both will, you know, I'll ask one of them about it right now because the next guest that I'm going to introduce, he's the titular character of the film we're celebrating today. And I never tire of saying titular. It's the co-host of Wide World of Doug's Doug Mellard. Hey, Doug Mellard.
Hey, dude. I never tire of listening to you say titular.
You know, that's just the way you you do it, Melly Mel. Are you my question to you, you know, I've seen the motion picture and I enjoy it very much. And my question is, do you worry that you'll get typecast as a weirdo conspiracy theorist who disappears?
Well, I just worry that I'll be typecast as a weirdo in general because I'm a weirdo in general. I think you'd agree. So,
right. Yeah, you're right. But, you're definitely headed down that path.
But I had fun playing a weirdo. It's pretty freeing to just be an absolute wacko.
Yeah. Well, also you're more a high energy weirdo. You're more of a, in real life, you're a more low energy weirdo.
Kinda. I don't know.
Casual weirdo. That's what I'd say.
I'm all over the place with energy, I guess.
You're like dress casual weirdo. suit casual rumpled suit weirdo. Suit coat, baseball hat, weirdo. Listen, yeah. however you slice it, you're very funny in the film, and it was also something of a miracle. This is what happens with all movies. We're going to talk about this a little later in the show. The you know, roles meant for one person ends up somebody else does it, and everyone thinks, well, that's who it was meant for. Like, Doug, you were not supposed to play Toby Blackwood, but then you ended up doing it. And I, you know, watching the movie, I can't think of another actor who would have, you know, embodied the role better.
Oh, thanks. Well, yeah. Like, you know, the whole film was shot during lockdown. So it was kind of a challenge as far as trying to find someone at the time that had, the backdrop that we needed. And so I would happen to be in New Mexico for that time. And there was a lot of area where I could just freely film shit. And so it was, you know, I was really nervous to fill in because I haven't done anything like this before. But, oh, man, once we got going, it was so fun. Such a good
yeah. And yeah, it just it was a practical decision. But also, I know I feel this way sometimes when I'm like, you know, trying to make videos and stuff out in public. Like, did you, when you were acting nutty, sometimes were you ever just like, was it hard to get a good take because you're self-conscious about going so over the top and somebody could wander by?
Oh, God. Yeah. Some of the things that were said by not just me, but my character in particular, like I would yell things in a very quaint part of Santa Fe where I'm yelling about drinking piss. And like, I'm having to like text neighbors like, hey, what you're about to hear is going to be pretty weird, but we're just making make-believe over here. Pretty weird, pretty strange. I'm glad we weren't arrested.
Yeah. Cause you also, you know, went the no permit route, I'm sure. So like, you know, you just didn't want anyone to know you were actually making a movie.
Right. Some of the time, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, we can't let SAG know that, about that.
Well, I, you know, would never let any SAG member listen to this podcast. This is a real, it's real exclusive. We don't need no, none of those types. Although I guess I'm talking about myself here, but that's one of the things I would like to say next after I introduce the director, co-writer, star of the film, first-time guest on Douglas Movies. It's Joe Ahern. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Doug. Thanks so much for having us on. I'm really psyched to be here.
Hey, Joe, you want to give it a go?
Sure.
Well,
I want to talk about...
Do you get an extra charge when you hear that Lady Marmalade song and they say that, hey, Joe, you want to give it a go? Do you kind of be like, nod to yourself, like, yes, I would like to give it a go.
That's my alarm clock every morning, Doug.
Oh, my God. What a great way to wake up. Give it a go, Joe.
No,
oh man, I just thought of a good TikTok though. Is somebody enjoying their coffee and saying, but using that piece of the song, like referring to the coffee as Joe.
Wow.
I love it.
Anyway,
I love it.
Okay, so you were saying?
Doug kind of hit on it, but yeah, we wanted to just try and do something during lockdown that, you know, we when we made this thing or when we were making it, the goal was to have it get out there in 2020 or 21. But, you know, that didn't materialize. But I think we were trying to rush to get this out there, like, because COVID might go away. We were like, what if, you know, this gets solved so quickly? Our movie's going to be irrelevant, all that. But, you know, the deeper we got into it, we obviously realized that it wasn't going away. It was a challenge because we pretty much had no crew. So we, you know, film, the main two characters we'd shot with a movie camera, and then every other character that these two guys would come across, was kind of from their perspective as a FaceTime or Zoom. So, you know, it opened us up to working with people we would have never in a million years gotten to work with. So that was really exciting. And, it's also,
well, you know, I enjoyed it because I find that lockdown movies, whether they're movies that are pretending there wasn't a lockdown, but they made a movie anyway, and then movies that include the lockdown have lots of Zoom stuff and FaceTimes and whatnot. I found that whole genre to just be lacking, like everyone was doing it because they kind of had to, but nothing really worked until I saw your movie, because it incorporates it in a way that's not only true and real, but also you keep it interesting. It's not like you're sitting staring at any one of these kind of depressing things that we had to deal with during lockdown. You know, people are already tired of Zoom from their own meetings that they have to go to, you know, so they're not going to turn to their entertainment looking the same way.
I appreciate that. That was one of our, you know, that was one of our goals from the get-go, was to not make this thing feel so claustrophobic. And, you know, not to, you know, there are definitely some pretty solid movies that were done entirely over Zoom, but we felt that would get, you know, quickly become an overused device and it wouldn't have the best shelf life. So we were like, how do we make this world not feel so claustrophobic while it's largely taking place in two apartments? But having the, you know, the Zooms and the FaceTimes be from the two main characters' perspectives, we thought would make it a little more dynamic. It's all a testament to how good of our editor, Dan Riddle is. You know, we gave him this so many separate elements, and to have it, to make it feel cohesive was kudos to him. And I don't know what movie we would have had if we didn't have him. So
I can't think of to be honest with you, I can't think of a comedy that was done using kind of like a more of a kind of a Zoom, kind of a everybody's locked down kind of thing. Like they did a Father of the Bride thing that was all people on Zooming with each other, Steve Martin and the rest of the Father of the Bride characters. And it just was always so rough, you know? And, so I just thought that it is very refreshing to, how it's handled in this movie. And it also is like a timestamp, because it really was at that where things were at that moment. Cause you know, now everybody's running around like the pandemic's over, but you know, there's still new crazy, variants coming out into the world. So, on that note, on that fun note, let's play some fun trivia games. And oh, let me ask you this, or just say, I just want to make a statement, Joe, and that is thank you for putting me in the movie so very briefly. You know, because I'm sure I got paid the same as a lot of people that were in it, like, you know, that worked all day or something. And but you also got me a seat on the residual train, because. Because it is SAG, I'll get some checks. You know, I don't know how much they'll be for or how long it'll take. I appreciate you putting me on that train.
My pleasure, Doug. We're psyched to have you. And every time your scene comes up, you get a laugh every single time we've seen it in a room full of people. So. Thank you for being a part of it. I appreciate it.
It's a highlight of the movie for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw the movie and it was my least favorite part, but okay. I was thinking today as I was getting ready for this, when I looked in the mirror, that like my hair is even longer than it was then. And when we shot that, And, you know, we shot, you know, I think Doug Mellard, you probably thought of me for this particular role, probably because of how crazy my hair was at the time. And now, now my hair is even crazier looking.
Oh, nice.
All right. So it's time for Recommendation Nation, which is a part of the show where we normally ask the guests, I ask the guests to recommend a movie. And lately I've been putting restrictions on it and types of movies. And of course we did holiday movies. But for this episode, since we're right on the cusp of the time when everybody makes resolutions, and everybody, actors, filmmakers, comedians, you know, we all sort of have that movie that we've always heard is amazing and great, and for whatever reason we haven't watched it yet. So I'm looking for your resolution movie, a movie that you've never seen that you think, damn it, I should really, in 2023, it's about time I watched from beginning to end. Because there's a lot of movies that I feel like I've seen because I've seen so much, so many parts of it, like, because it's a classic movie and you see all the little bits and pieces. But there's, you know, there's certainly some I have that I'd love to just watch all the way through. Let's start with Dana. Unless you don't have one.
Oh, I definitely have one. Oh, I definitely have one.
Perfect.
And it's because I think I'm the only person on the planet who hasn't seen it. And it's even more offensive because I'm one of the luckiest people on the planet that I got to be there and work there for 3 years, but I have yet to see the first or any of the Lord of the Rings at all.
Well, you know, once you've waited this long, now you've got a time commitment. You know, there was a time when you were like sitting around and one of those movies came out, and if you saw it, you got that got done with. You know what I mean? But if you just waited and waited, now you've got over 9 hours of viewing that you'd have to pull off.
I know.
To watch the trilogy.
I know.
And then do you do about the other goddamn trilogy? And then now it's the TV series.
I didn't even know about the TV. Oh my God. And so, see, this is why they keep getting pushed back, because it's like, it just gets longer and longer and longer. If it was one, I could, you know, if it was like Jaws, okay, well, I can manage 2 hours, but now I have, you know, an entire lifetime of movies to catch up on, just to see the first one at least. But
yeah,
wow.
And no offense to those movies, but they're more serious than they are fun. And then to me, that takes a lot of the fun out of it.
Yeah, but you know what? then again, though, New Zealand. I mean, that's a reason to watch in and of itself. Like, I went to Hobbiton. What a jerk I am. I didn't deserve to go to Hobbiton. I didn't deserve. They even had the VHS in the little like place we stayed to be able to watch it, and I put it on and fell asleep within 10 minutes. So I am offended by myself to all the I've offended all the hobbits, and I'm so very
well,
sorry.
Well, I'll give you a badge for achieving 10 minutes. Like, you got to take it, you know, sometimes it's a one day at a time proposition. And you know, I some of these movies that are coming out now, they're so goddamn long that I'm just sort of like, you know what, thanks to streaming, I really am going to start watching things. I'm going to turn a long ass movie into a limited series.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to say, okay, this seems like a good time for a break, and then wait a day or so, especially if it's something I'm really enjoying, because then that's part of the fun of series television, is having to wait for the next episode. And you know, with streaming, it's just like easy to just binge it. But we're talking about movies. So Doug, what's a movie that you've never seen that you should, that you feel like you should?
Batman Forever. No, I'm joking.
That could be, I seriously think that it's weird that there's anybody out there that's missed a Batman movie, because I think everybody likes to weigh in about who their favorite Batman is, or their favorite Batman movie.
Yeah.
So you can't skip any of them, and you got to watch the turds to really appreciate the shiny ones.
They're definitely worth them. No, this is going to blow your mind. And this is crazy. I don't know how this has even happened, but this is embarrassing. I've never seen Goodfellas.
What's the matter with you?
And I know I love it, but it's weird.
See, that is very, it's amazing, because like even amongst Martin Scorsese's work, I find it to be the most just easy to watch, fucking fun, sails by. I mean, shouldn't be fun really, but it is. And I only, you know, I don't want to spoil it for you, Doug, but it doesn't, I think by the end of it, it's a little, it overstays its welcome a little bit, but what an amazing movie, just in terms of just the pacing and the characters. And
you know, it's infuriating. I started to watch, I didn't even finish it, that long one that he did a few years back with a CGI Robert De Niro.
The Irishman.
Yeah, and I was just like, why didn't I just watch Goodfellas? That would have been a better use. Like,
wait, did an Irishman just jump in to say the Irishman?
Yeah, I did. I did. Yeah.
Like, you're dying to talk about that movie at every opportunity. Irishman, I liked it because I've got an Irish heritage.
I never finished it. I never finished it. It was, I love Scorsese, and I never finished The Irishman.
What is wrong with you guys?
Well, that one, that is a movie that definitely springs to mind, that like I would have enjoyed it more if I had just done installments instead of forcing myself to just endure the whole product. But, I hope everybody gives up quickly on this, de-aging thing, because all of De Niro's de-aging scenes, like it's too hard. I can't. It's just weird to look at. Yeah. It works. It doesn't. I don't mind it with like Sam Jackson in Captain Marvel because like the whole movie's it's supposed to be a cartoon, you know.
Right.
But these movies where it's like a realistic story, and then you're bringing in special effects to make an older actor look younger. It's like, you know, hey, De Niro, so you don't want someone to have that break that you had where you got to play young Marlon Brando? You wish Marlon Brando had special effects to cover the job?
Wow.
Such a hypocrite. He's a hypocrite. Scorsese wants to keep working with those guys. So if he can de-age them, like, why not? You know, he gets to keep working with his favorite actor buddies and not have to tell stories that are exclusively about old men.
Yeah.
You know, but he should find some young people. I think he's made enough movies with both De Niro and DiCaprio that he could just find somebody, you know, no offense, Dana, but find somebody whose name doesn't begin with D.I.
I'm a D.E.
Fortunately, you're D.E., so you don't qualify. But that's why I spelled it instead of saying work with any more D's.
Well, so you're saying they make The Irishman too, and they should cast Joe Ahern?
As the
actual Irishman. I see where you're going.
De Niro was Irish in it. I don't even know who the Irishman was supposed to be.
Yeah, he wasn't. Yeah. Yes.
It's just such a boring ass title. Why would they call it?
It was based on a real guy. Yeah. I don't want to spoil it for people, but
the name of the book
is
excellent. I think it's called I Heard You Paint Houses. That's a great title.
That's really what it was called?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But the guy was Irish, but he was like the right-hand man to the mob, and that's why they called him the Irishman, because he was an Irish guy in the mob.
Yeah. I don't know.
But it was, too long, but yeah. All right, Joe, you're a big shot with the next Goodfellas. Starring Irish.
You know, I just don't like any movies about Hoffa because there's no mention of hot dogs. All right, what's your pick, Joe? What's a movie you've never seen that you got to admit to everybody?
Well, I don't know if this is going to be. I try to watch all the end of the season, the Oscar films, and I watch so many trailers, Doug, that I end up like driving my wife crazy because she hates watching trailers. And by the time the movie is out and I'm ready to go see it, I've like worn myself out by seeing the trailer 40 times. And that's my excuse for not having seen. I really always wanted to see that movie Nomadland. And I never got around to seeing, I know it's only been out for a couple of years now, but I must have watched the trailer 40 times, and I love the director Chloe Zhao's previous film she had made, The Rider, I thought was an excellent movie. So I was dying to see Nomadland, and you know, they, the way they filmed it with a bunch of like non-actors throughout the American West. And yeah, still haven't seen it. But like Dana, I also haven't seen any of the Lord of the Rings movies.
Oh, yay. Oh, I don't feel so bad.
Well, you know, it doesn't matter when it takes place. We're talking about nomads in both of those films. And, you know, I mean, Frances McDormand's not looking for a ring. She is decidedly single. I really like Nomadland a lot, but it's like a mood piece, you know. And mm-hmm. you know what's? Can I confess something to everybody?
Yeah.
I haven't seen Eternals.
I haven't either.
Me neither.
Yeah, and I, you know, I'm friends with Kumail, and I was excited that he's in it, and I think she's probably got, you know, an interesting take. And then when there was blowback, that kind of excited me a little bit. Like, oh, people don't. You know, when the fanboys don't love something, I kind of get excited about it because it might be more interesting to me, because it might be a little less of the kind of standard issue stuff that happens in those mm-hmm. movies. But I just lost steam on it, and it didn't happen. And then now again, it's the same thing where like the Marvel stuff just keeps coming, and uh-huh. I want to be up to date. And everybody always says Eternals kind of is almost standalone. Yeah. In its world. So as long as I can get to it before Eternals 2, right. then I should be good. And the way I said Eternals 2 just now, I think I sounded like Kevin in The Office. Eternals 2. All right. those are great. These are amazing picks for movies you've never seen that you should see. And everyone should see all three of these movies, in my opinion. And also, I wanted to throw into the mix the movie that I haven't seen, in addition to Eternals, is I haven't seen Swiss Army Man.
Oh, yeah.
And I've just been extra fired up to try to, you know, get around to it because of liking Everything Everywhere All at Once so much.
That movie was amazing.
Great movie.
All right. Well, we are going to take our first break, and when we come back, we're going to play some games. And I smell a really highly competitive group here.
Cutthroat.
It's going to be cutthroat. And we'll start cutting throats right after this. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We're back. I told you it'd be quick. Maybe I didn't. Anyway, this first game we're going to play is something I made up this morning, because last night I watched Babylon.
Ooh.
In its entirety. Speaking of movies, it'd be great broken up. And my favorite, well, there's so many things to talk about and in my opinion, like about Babylon. I know it's a highly polarizing film, but one of the things I loved about it is I believe it set the record for the longest amount of time before the title card appears.
Oh, wow.
Because it's 30 minutes in.
Wow.
When it's like, oh, by the way, this is called Babylon.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's a fun 30 minutes. Like, it's kind of like Raising Arizona when it shows up about 18 minutes in. You're already having so much fun. You go, oh, fuck, I didn't even notice they never said what this is called.
That's great.
Yeah, I really love the first half hour and then segments of it. And then I like the ending, but it's a lot in one sitting. But not... I got the impression from everybody, because it's so cocaine fueled, all the characters do cocaine, that it was, and there's, you know, lots of orgies and stuff, but it's always, there's lots of slower scenes. Like, it's not like, I was given the impression that it was like frenetic, nonstop craziness for 3 hours, but boy, there is a lot of craziness in it. Like, if there's an opportunity for any bodily fluid to come flying out of somebody,
oh my God,
they take advantage of it. Yeah.
Wow.
And animal shit. I mean, it's crazy, but it's crazy, but it's also like, it's that kind of crazy where, like, you're sitting there going, but not too crazy for me. You know, like, I get yeah. why people are like losing their minds over this movie. Like, oh my God, the things that happen in this movie. But I wasn't really shocked by any of it. I was more just like impressed that this guy was just like, you know, Whiplash, La La Land, First Man, all of those films won Oscars. Like, he's 3 for 3 for like movies that win Oscars. And then he makes just this massive budget movie with just these insane shots where you're like, oh, this is just about being over the top and insane. Like, these battle sequences with all these people fighting on horses. It's crazy.
Wow.
Anyway,
I can't wait to see
yeah.
that. It looks
there's
looks
one
really
scene
exciting.
Where there's the joke is that there's 1,000 extras fighting each other in the background while two people in the foreground are just having a little moment. It's hilarious. And it's, you know, and it's just for a silent film, and they're waiting for the right they're waiting for that magic golden moment when the sun's going down, but it's, they're still making black and white movies. So that's hilarious. That because over the years, there's been so many stories of filmmakers that have like really punished everyone on the crew for not getting that, you know, magic hour, you know, not getting that right sunlight. You know, or DPs that yell at everybody that, you know, we need to get the shot.
That was Joe in our film.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Okay.
No.
I didn't mean to talk about Babylon so much, but I could Babylon about that film.
Hey, ooh.
All goddamn day. Like, it is so long that there's just so many things that come up in it that you're, you know, interesting to discuss. And also the fact that nobody's going to see it. I my girlfriend and I got to have an absolutely private screening movie. Nobody else
wow.
was in the theater. Yeah. And we didn't even look at our phones. Like, if you know, whenever I'm alone in a movie theater, if the movie loses my interest at all, I'll like glance at my phone and, you know, check email or whatever. And I didn't pull my phone out once. It was that interesting for
wow.
three hours and 9 minutes.
Wow.
It's that long? Oh, my
wow.
God.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane wow. how long every aspect of it is just so big, but then it also, it just has a lot of, you know, it's one of those movies where people that love movies or make movies can sit back and be like, I get it more than people that aren't mm-hmm. super into movie. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it's a little bit of a braggy, like the people who really love it, I think they also just love movies because it is like a love letter to movies, but at the same time, it's a love letter to how in real life, you know, Singing in the Rain, what those people in Singing in the Rain went through when they're transitioning from, you know, silent to sound, was in a lot of cases very tragic. So that's sort of what Babylon's about, is about how fucked over some people got by that transition.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited.
But it's a big, fun movie about it. I just love it so much. All right. So I like it more the more I talk about it. I like talking about it more than watching it, maybe. But I'll definitely watch certain sequences again. Like if I'm in a multiplex, I might like slip in and watch it for a while. But
a little
it's not going to be in theaters for long, though. I'll tell you that. Okay. So it's already probably reduced to no matinees and just playing at night. But here's the game I came up with. Tobey Maguire is featured in the film. He's a producer on it, but he also put himself in it, much like a Doug Millard would do. And he he plays a gangster, zombie-like, just weird, horrible-looking face, but is supposed to be based somehow on Charlie Chaplin. And it's weirder than it sounds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like it's I got to see the movie again just to figure out what the fuck was happening with Tobey Maguire. But this game is called Toby or Not Toby, in honor of both Tobey Maguire and Toby Blackwood. So I'm going to tell you a fun fact that may or may not be a fact about Tobey Maguire.
Okay.
Maybe it may be a made up thing or a actual fact tweaked to make it unfactual.
I love it.
So we're going to start with Dana, then we'll go to Doug, then we'll go to Joe. You each get your own individual facts. You tell me if it's Toby or not Toby. And if you get it right, you get a point. And after I go through a bunch of them, we'll see who has the most points and name a winner.
Got it.
Dana, you're up first.
Oh, God.
I don't know. I think I think you might know this one.
Someone wait, I just want to ask again. You made this game up last night?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, this morning.
Oh, this morning. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm your first. I'm the first contestant ever on this game right now. Has happened. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm a little nervous.
I can't. You know, I can't. These games that I think of, I don't commit them. I don't commit to them until day of, because if a guest cancels or something, you never know what's going to happen. Like, what if one of you couldn't do it and you got replaced with Tobey Maguire? This game would be awkward. So I have to kind of work in a last minute mode, but also, you know, also I like to keep things fresh, as you'll see.
Yeah. My hands are sweating. I'm nervous.
Our second game is super fresh, but see, here's the deal, Dana. Some of these are going to be crazy easy, and some are going to be, you know, more harder and or just a guess. At least it's always a 50-50 guess.
Yeah, that's true. Here we go. Yeah. Hey Joe, you want to give it a go? Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. Here we go.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Dana, Tobey Maguire is a tournament winning poker player. Toby or not Toby?
Toby.
You think he plays poker and he's good at it?
I mean, he's an actor. He lies for a living, right? So,
oh, listen to you with your awesome logic. That is correct.
Oh, was I right? Yes.
Yes.
Yay. Oh,
yeah, Dana's on the board.
Dana. Oh, I feel like I'm a winner already.
Well, wait till you see what happens next. Doug? Dana DiLorenzo has 1 point, but I want to ask you, Doug, close friends with Leonardo DiCaprio, Toby or not Toby?
Toby, for sure.
Toby is close friends with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
It's true. He got the script for this. He's a producer on this movie, and both Brad Pitt and what's her name? Margot Robbie. They both read the script while they were working on Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, wow.
And they both said yes to it. And even though they both play characters that do and are a lot of similar things to that other movie, including Margot Robbie has a scene in a movie theater watching herself act in a movie.
No.
She does. Yeah.
Wow.
It works, though. It works. All right.
Wow.
It's just like how Scorsese uses that one Rolling Stone song in every movie. Okay. Joe. It's Joe's turn.
Okay.
Give it a go, all right. Joe.
Toby or not Toby? Likes big butts and cannot lie. Just kidding. Was almost replaced by Jake Gyllenhaal in Spider-Man 2. Toby or not Toby?
I'm going to say not Toby.
Joe, say it isn't so. I thought you were going to give it a go. It was semi-famously Toby because he fucked up his back doing Seabiscuit. And then it was like, oh, Oh, man. I don't think I can do Spider-Man 2. And then Jake Gyllenhaal came in, trained, tried on the tights, the whole deal.
Wow.
And that didn't end up playing the part because Toby was like, nope, I'm good.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Damn it. I knew the first two.
It still brought Jake back as a villain, you know, in this movie. So I guess it worked out for everybody.
That's good.
Yeah. All right. We're back to you, Dana.
Okay.
All right.
Pressure.
Toby or not Toby had to gain weight, had to put on weight to initially play the role in the first Spider-Man, in Raimi's first Spider-Man. Gained weight.
Toby.
That is true. That is Toby.
Yay.
You're killing it, Dana.
Because he was playing a jockey in Seabiscuit right before.
No, Seabiscuit was after Spider-Man.
That was two.
But he has been a maniac because other than getting, you know, I think gain weight to play Spider-Man means muscle.
That's what I thought you meant.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of a trick question. Joe wouldn't have gotten it. Doug, Toby or not Toby, almost played Ethan Hawke's role in Training Day.
Oh, not Toby.
You think that's not Toby? I'm sorry. It is Toby.
What?
Oh, wow.
I know, what? Right?
I just can't picture it at all. That's
me
so
neither.
Weird.
Same.
But I actually had to go through quite a few Training Days, as it turns out, before they changed their minds and put Ethan Hawke in there.
Wow.
Yeah. Next up is Joe. You got to get on the board here, Joe. Otherwise, Dana's going to walk away with this thing.
Oh, boy.
Because we cannot count on Duck. In high school, his career goal was to become a professional golfer.
I definitely know this.
Oh, shit. But this is Joe's question.
I'm gonna go with Toby.
Doug, what do you think it is?
I have no idea.
Oh, why do you say you definitely know it?
Damn it. Kind of weird
game are you playing? It's not Toby. I made it up.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he's a nerd. He likes chess and yoga and something else that's boring. Not the golf.
Doug, Doug Mellor, good tactic, because I was going to go not Toby, but I'm like, oh, well, if Doug knows this, it's obviously got to be a golfer.
It's obviously something that's knowable. That's why I was shocked that he would know something that's made up. It's not cool.
Hey, Mellor, I got to hand it to you, Mellor. That was a good tactic.
That was.
All right, Dana, this is it. If you get this one, you just walk away with it.
Oh, my God.
He studied theology in college. Toby or not Toby?
He studied theology.
Definitely know this.
Oh, this is the reverse psychology. So if you said it last time, do you mean it this time? Well, he studied theology in college. I'm gonna guess he didn't go to. I'm gonna guess not Toby.
You did it. That is correct. I don't know if he even went to college. I just know that I made up the theology thing, and it might not. I don't know what kind of education he could have gotten because he's been acting since he was a child. Like his first movie, right. He was a teenager. That's where he and Toby became lifelong. I mean, Leo became lifelong friends on This Boy's Life.
This Boy's Life. That's great. Right.
With movie. Robert De Niro playing his actual age. This was a fun one that I had. If the game had kept going, I was voted most sexiest vegetarian by PETA in 2007. Toby or not Toby? Doug, do you feel like you know that one?
Can you repeat it?
Was voted most sexiest vegetarian by PETA in 2007. No, I will not repeat it.
I'm going to say Toby.
Not Toby. Because he got that title in 2002.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Good question.
Wow.
All right. So Dana won that mother grabber, and that means that Dana gets to go first in our next and final game of the day, which we will play right after this break. We'll be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're back. Let's play a game that I've been playing a lot lately because it's fun, it's unpredictable, and even someone like Trey Gallion can win. It's a game called The Little Search Engine That Could. Now, I typed a word just today into the search engine on the Internet Movie Database, IMDb. I typed it in there, and then I wrote down the top 8 movies that are currently in the algorithm. Like, in other words, they're popular on IMDb because they're being searched because people in the movies are currently in the news, or the movie itself is getting a lot of attention. That's how this algorithm works on IMDb. It's a little unpredictable. And the word that I typed in, so start thinking of movie titles with this word in it, but don't say any yet. The word, happy 2023, everybody. The word is new. Lots of movies over the years with the word new in the title. And it's spelled N-E-W. There's no, I knew what you did last time. There's no new K-N-E-W. This is just N-E-W, new. You'll each get 3 guesses, but we'll take turns doing one guess at a time. So it'll be 3 rounds of guesses, and we'll eliminate from the list every time somebody gets one. And the number of points you get are based on how high the list it is. If it's number 1, you get 8 points. All the way down to number 8, you get 1 point. After 3 rounds, we add up the points, and we should have ourselves a winner. Might be a tie. And then we'll settle it somehow, probably with a coin toss, where I just like sit here and pretend to flip it and then just say whoever I feel like should be the winner. All right. So Dana, you get to go first. And then we're going to go to, we'll switch the order around. We'll go to Joe, then to Doug. That's going to be your order in this game. And Dana, please tell me, with the hopes of it being the number 1 most searched on IMDb movie with the word new in the title, what do you think that could be?
Well, I only have been able to think of one, and that's Gangs of New York.
I think you'll think of more as you hear others being suggested, and you know, you have a little bit more time. It's, you know, you'll have a second to, you know, to kind of maybe catch up mentally or think of one. And, you know, not to mention the fact that, you know, sometimes one title will make, you know, just make you think of another. In this case, the guys might have thought of something else after hearing Gangs of New York, but you get 4 points because it is number 5 on the list.
Yay!
Yeah. Tallest top hat in motion pictures in Gangs of New York on what's his name's head, Daniel Day-Lewis, until he made Lincoln. And that topped his own record. It was pretty impressive. Okay, so Dana's got 4 points. That is a strong lead in a game where, you know, there remains available only about 7 13 or 14 more points. Joe, what's your first guess of a movie with the word new in it?
A New Hope, the Star Wars one.
All right. Now, you know, I love exact titles on this program.
Oh, God.
So let's break it down. It's a Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the episodes.
Yes. I don't remember which episode it is, though.
Well, let's think about this for a second. There was the first trilogy was 1, 2, 3. Then the second trilogy would fill in before the last trilogy was, 7, 8, 9.
Okay.
And that's why there was no 9, because 7, 8, 9.
No, there was nine
altogether. What's that?
I think it's 4.
Okay, and then what else?
Oh, God.
Well, you said the word new already.
Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope.
Very good. We got there. Number six on the list, we're 3 points.
Sweet. All right.
Yeah, Joe. Hopefully, next time will be easier. I'm not a dentist. I'm not here to pull these answers out of you like teeth. Doug.
God, I hope this is in there. Escape from New York?
Oh, dude, that is a great one. But I guess, you know, just in this particular moment, really. It falls after number 8 somewhere. Because it's got to be in there somewhere, because it does have the word new in it.
Damn.
But unfortunately, didn't make the cut right now. And also, Escape from L.A. didn't make it either, because, you know, that doesn't have new in it at all. Was it Escape from L.A. or Escape to L.A.?
Maybe
I think it might have been from.
I think it's from.
I just remember Steve Buscemi surfing in the middle of, like, downtown San Diego. LA. Okay. We're back to Dana. Have you thought of anything in the interim?
But it also is still just with the title New York in it. So I don't know if that's fair play.
It's absolutely fair play. Whether it's on the list or not.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Let me make sure. Cause I know you just said you're a stickler for titles. I can't believe it. It's the sequel to Home Alone. And it's called like Home Alone, something New York, something new. I know it ends in New York. Home Alone. Lost in New York. I don't know.
Gone. That is correct.
Alone. Oh, really? Wait, which one is it? Which one is it?
It's what you just said. You managed to somehow say it.
I have no idea what I said.
You were like, I don't know, Home Alone 2, I don't know, Lost, I don't know, in New York, Lost in New York. Yeah, it's Home Alone 2, Lost in New York.
Really? That's it?
That's the title, yay. Yes.
Yay. I love that movie.
Yeah, well, and I love your style of play, because that's the number one movie on the list.
No, it's not.
It's not.
Wait, yeah. Really?
Yeah, so that's worth a whopping 8 points. These guys are going to have a lot of
fun. Oh, man.
I'm sorry. Pause. We have the... wait. That's higher than Gangs of New York?
Yeah, it's number one because we're just coming out of the holiday season when people are typing in holiday movies. Everybody's talking about... For some reason, people are passing out pictures of Macaulay Culkin now and Macaulay Culkin then. He's been showing up on the internet for some reason. I don't know. He looks fine to me. And then... you know, of course, there's a gentleman that appears in the film that people like to be mad about.
Right.
To search the title as well.
Right.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. A lot of people don't like Tim Curry. All right. So a lot of people don't like Brenda Fricker. She's the pigeon lady.
Oh,
the pigeon shit lady.
I love her.
Yeah, she's nice. All right, Joe. You got to give it a hard go. We need you to land one of these top ones.
Is it, I'm going to go with, was it like New Year's Eve? We're Happy New Year. What was the one?
Let's pick.
New Year's Eve. Mm. Yeah, New Year's Eve.
Good one.
You did exactly what I was hoping you'd do. That's number two on the list. New Year's Eve, starring Hilary Swank, Seth Meyers, and a bunch of other people.
All right.
Yay.
Yeah. One of those Gary Marshall holiday movies. That's and, oh, And it's like over 2 hours long, and two characters are stuck in an elevator during much of it. So every time we see those two characters, we're just in an elevator, which is just stealing Bradley Cooper and Julia Roberts on a plane throughout Valentine's Day. Anyway, so formulaic. But that was worth 7 points, Joe. So you're up right. 10 points. Yay. You are within striking distance. I don't want to use that expression because, you know, that's not – nobody should be hitting anybody. But Doug, you seem destined to not be able to win this thing, but we could be a spoiler. What else have you got, Doug?
I'm hoping this is in there because of the holiday thing, but Gremlins 2 – The New Batch.
I love the way all of you are good at just guessing at these titles because, you know, I have to take the first thing you say, and Doug, you got it right the first time, then got it wrong when you tried to correct it. It's Gremlins 2, The New Batch.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yay. And it's number 8 on the list.
Ah, barely.
But Doug, you did minimum to get, you've got the bare amount of points.
Perfect.
To have points. And that's one. So we have Dana has 12 points. Joe has 10 points. And it's always a pleasure to talk to Doug Mellard. Our third round begins now. Dana, can you solidify your lead by picking one more? There's only 3 titles left that are in the top 8 that you haven't named. What do you think might be in there?
The only other one I can think of, which is Autumn in New York with Winona Ryder and Keanu and Richard Gere. Yeah.
Yeah. I just saw a clip the other day of about the time Taylor Swift met Richard Gere and didn't recognize him.
Oh,
yeah. And like Chicago was her favorite movie. And she's like standing there talking to Richard Gere. And she goes, what's your name?
Oh, my God.
Maybe he had CGI on his face and she couldn't recognize him when he was aged backwards.
I mean, that guy still looks really good, doesn't he?
He does. Yes, that's why he's a heartthrob.
Crazy. It's crazy.
Sexy man.
Wait, what did you say?
The movie Autumn in New York. Cheating because all I keep saying is New York.
Yeah, but Autumn in New York is didn't make the list.
No.
But you still have a whopping 12 points. So Joe has to pull. Actually, any of these would do it. If Joe got number 7, that would tie things up. And if he got number 3 or number 4, he's the winner today. Do you have any more movies with New in the title, Joe?
I do. And on the subject of Martin Scorsese, how about New York, New York?
Another, I think, excellent guess. But unfortunately, a movie that really has no reason for anybody to be talking about it right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Liza Minnelli's still with us. She still has, there's still a Twitter account that just every time anything dies or goes out of fashion, it says that Liza Minnelli has outlived it. And
great.
I fucking love it, but I'm so sad about the concept of Liza Minnelli dying and then just having to go, well, that's the end of that. but that is the end of that in terms of our scores. Dana, you did it. You're our winner today.
Yay.
Congratulations. Let me tell you what.
Can I throw one in there? Maybe.
What you missed.
Yeah.
It's not going to be on here, I promise you. What do you got, Doug?
New Jack City?
Nope. Oh.
Nope.
Yeah.
These are real tough ones. These are ones that I don't know why anyone would come up with them. At number 7... Downton Abbey, A New Era.
That's a movie?
That's what the Downton Abbey movie was subtitled, A New Era.
Missed that.
Exactly. And then from the superhero world, one that I never saw and it got kind of, felt like it got a lot of negative attention, The New Mutants.
Oh.
Weird.
Yeah.
Escape from New York couldn't bounce that?
No. But I think that's just because people are always having always looking into these, you know, DC and Marvel movies and trying to be angry about it. And then number 3, if you want to really be angry about a movie that does not deserve to be on a list, New in Town, starring Renee Zellweger.
Oh,
what?
As that girl that moves to the Midwest and doesn't know how to work a stove.
That was on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, I think it's because it's snowy and Christmassy, maybe.
Like, is that a recent
currently popular? No, it's her looking like a different person.
Ah, gotcha.
It was when she still looked like Renee Zellweger. Gotcha. So now she's a character actress who just is gonna like gain weight and do prosthetics and stuff every time. Good for her, I say. She was a really good Judy Garland. I just wish that movie was worth, you know, was more entertaining. When people win for biopics, the movies are never the star, you know, it's always the person playing the part. Well, congratulations, Dana DiLorenzo. You did it.
Thank you. I've never won a game.
You get to do your plugs first. What would you like to plug besides the fact that The Disappearance of Toby Blackwood is currently available on VOD?
Oh, what do I like to plug? I'd like to plug that. That's what I'd like to plug.
I said you can plug anything else. I got your plug out of your big plug or your current plug. The reason we're all here today, out of the way. But what else? What about your social media? Where can people watch?
Oh, right, right. Yes, that. Sorry.
That's all right.
I'm Dana. No pressure. I'm so excited. I actually won a game. I've never won a game in my life. I'm Dana DiLorenzo on the socials, or Dana DiLorenzo official, and a couple of things coming out in the new year to stay tuned for, but I'm not allowed to say them yet. So we'll see.
Okay.
But at Dana DiLorenzo. Dana DiLorenzo.
D-E, not D-I.
That's right. Capital L.
Keep that in mind, everybody.
Thanks, Doug. I appreciate it.
Oh, speaking of Doug's. Doug Mellard, besides the film and our podcast together, what else have you got to plug?
Oh, just find me on the social at Doug Mellard, and you know, watch Gremlins 2, The New Batch. Yeah, find me on social, you'll find my stand-up dates coming up and all that stuff. So
if you don't have time to watch it, just type it into the IMDb search engine so you're trying to give it a little boost.
Yeah.
Try to get it up the list a little bit. But I don't know how often people are going to be like, I want to watch a movie, but it has to have the word new in the title. We'll type that into IMDb and watch that movie. Home Alone 2. Shit. Okay. Joe Ahern, you have been an incredible guest.
Oh, thank you.
A wonderful first timer. And again, all the work that you did on the film, and Dana and Doug and the whole cast, I just really, the whole thing's very charming. And I hope people check it out. And is there anything else you need to get out there?
Anything else you want
to promote?
I don't have anything to plug because they're all in script format. So Doug and I are working on a new project, but yeah, there's no plugging of that of any kind just yet.
All right. Well, when you're writing it, you know, and trying to write a character for me, keep in mind my hair is really much longer now.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having us, Doug. I really appreciate it. And I hope people see the movie. We worked
what's
our butts
social,
off on
Joe?
It. Oh, my social. The Real Joey Mayo on Instagram. I don't know why that's still my name on there, but it is. I have.
We'll get you on Wide World of Doug's to talk about that and
awesome.
other name stuff. And for me, January 7th is the next Dynasty Typewriter show, Doug Loves Movies in LA at 4:20 in the afternoon. And it's we got a real fun guest lineup. So get your tickets for that. And all of my info and stuff is at douglovesmovies.com. And then maybe I should have warned you that this was coming, but hopefully you'll know the answer to this, Joe. I end every episode of late by just saying the last line from a motion picture, some iconic last lines and other last lines that you're like, what? That's what they said at the end of Thank God It's Friday. Somebody just goes there for some reason. So that's a, you know, closing line. Do you know what the closing line is of Disappearance of Toby Blackwood?
Yeah, it's, we had a little bonus scene in the credits. It's, don't be afraid of death, Wes. It's just a state of mind. And then Doug says that line as I'm running off camera.
Don't be afraid of death, West?
Yeah, West is my character's name. He's shouting.
I was like, West, what?
Yeah.
Don't be afraid of the West.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid of death, West. And then what's the rest of it?
It's just a state of mind.
I mean, classic. It's ready to go down in history.
Yeah, see, that's a good closing line. Do you know the closing line before the bonus scene? Like, if we're talking, somebody doesn't see the bonus scene, what's the last line?
Would it be, oh, shit?
It might be, oh, shit, with the big,
you needed something more eloquent for the actual last line of the line of dialogue.
Something a little more tasteful, I guess. Yeah. But I believe it is, oh, shit. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to close with the final line from your movie, because that's really throwing a monkey wrench into my last lines thing. Plus, also, a lot of times the last line is like, you know, a bunch of lines, you know, and you just read the very last one. It really doesn't make any sense out of context. But this is a good one. So thank you to Dana DiLorenzo. We'll have you back on the show soon as a returning champion. And
thank you.
And Doug Mellard and Joe Ahern and everyone involved. Thank you, everyone involved with Disappearance of Toby Blackwood. And as always, don't be afraid of death, Wes. It's just a state of mind.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart.